gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." The first upper room experience. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Father God, I come before you today believing that you have something to say to these people and to me. God, I pray that you move by the Spirit of the Lord, touch our hearts. God, I pray that we would feel that fire within us and hear the still small voice of the Spirit of God speaking life to us. God, I pray for an upper room experience today in this place, God, where life is dispensed from your hand to ours. Lord God, we look to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ahab is the king of Israel. Israel is an apostasy state. They have turned away from God. They have begun to worship Baal. They have many, many prophets of Baal teaching the people. And you need to know that Baal was known as the god of fertility. They believed that he was the god that controlled the rain. Isn't that interesting? He's the god that controlled the rain and gave the crops until Elijah spoke and said, "There'll be no rain." In other words, I just want to prove to you today that Baal does not control the rain and you are worshiping the wrong god. And to do that, so that we can make this really clear to you, I'm asking my God, "God, just withhold the rain for a little while so they'll understand who is really in charge." I think it would be interesting sometimes if the Lord would just withhold his spirit. Sometimes David said, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord." Why? Because he had captured sin in his heart and concealed sin in his heart to where he didn't feel the presence of God. And sometimes when you don't feel something, sometimes when there's an absence of things in your life, you realize for the first time what you had. They needed to realize they're serving the wrong God. You need to realize how powerful the God you serve is. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 17, and 18, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. The old King James, he was a man like us. You know, when we look at Elijah, we have a hard time swallowing that, don't we? We say, Elijah was a man like us? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But Scripture is true. Scripture says that Elijah was a man with a nature just like you. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I want you to know from the very first point you see in this, God is your provider. He reveals himself in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh. God provides for you. You may think that's your position. You may think that I go to work and I bring home the bacon and I'm going to tell you, you don't take the place of God. You make sure that you realize no matter how blessed you are, that God is Jehovah Jireh in your life. That God gives you the ability to earn wealth. God gives you the ability to work and to do. He promises us to take care of us. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." We're not beggars. We're not beggars. God takes care of us when we don't know it. When we don't even think about Him, God is taking care of us. I wonder today if we could just have our eyes open for just a minute spiritually. If the Lord would just unveil to us how He is cradling us today. The Lord provided for Elijah by a raven. by a bird. We don't know how long, but twice a day a bird brought his food into him. I think it's miraculous. And then the Lord says, okay, the brook is drying up, you need to go into this town, which was in the opposite direction. It was some way of going. But the Lord gave him a word, and he said, I've commanded a widow to take care of you. Now, you don't need to miss that part, because sometimes people prophesy over your life, and a prophecy should never lead you. You should never hear a prophecy and say, oh, I better go do that. No, 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 no. A prophecy confirms to you what the Lord has already spoken. Now, this widow got it. This widow was not an Israelite, first of all. You need to realize. Remember, she said, the Lord, your God? In other words, hey, that's not my God, but I recognize him as your God. Elijah's God is speaking to a widow to take care of the man of God that she don't even serve as God. But he speaks to her. Why? Because he got a word from the Lord. The Bible says in James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't withhold from you, and he doesn't shame you. He doesn't scold you because you don't know what to do. He delights in giving you wisdom. My goodness, how our people need a word from the Lord. The Bible says that we fail because of a lack of knowledge. We fail because we don't know what to do. God says, I want to tell you what to do. I want to give you clear instructions. But you've got to ask. He said, Elijah, I want you to go over here. I've commanded a widow to take care of you. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, God has chosen the foolish or the simple things of this world to put to shame or to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty. Sometimes God comes through in ways that we don't expect it, in other words. Sometimes God takes weak things and makes them strong in your life. Your answer may come in an area that you're not expecting it to come. Your solution to your problem may come in a way that you have no clue. You're not looking to that. Don't limit God. Don't limit the Lord. Elijah just gets up and does what he says. He just heads to the land of Zarephath. When he walks into the city gate, he's going through the gate of the city, and there's a young lady picking up sticks. Not too old, I guess, a young widow. And he says, ma'am, would you bring me a cup of water? She sort of agrees to that. Maybe without saying a word, she just begins to go get it. And he said, oh, by the way, bring me some bread also. And then she begins to tell him the plight that she's in. Sir, you don't understand. I've got just enough. You ever been there? I've got just enough to provide my son and myself with one more meal, and then we're going to starve to death. Oh, don't live in the land of just enough. God doesn't want you dwelling in that land of just enough. Because he reveals himself as El Shaddai. I'm the God of more than enough. I want to dwell in the land of more than enough, not just enough. And especially not nothing. I'm going to eat one more meal. And then I'm going to watch my son starve to death. And I plan to go with him. Oh, how desperate we can get sometimes when we try to do things on our own. When we become the provider, when we become the wisdom, when we become the answer to our own problems, when all your family is looking to you, you're in a desperate need, whether you know it or not. You're not capable of being God to your family. You better figure this one out. Because today it may seem and it may appear, hey, we've got the world by the tail. Everything's going fine. I'm going to tell you, there'll come a day when you won't feel like you got the world by the tail. As your God lives, I'm fixing to starve to death, Elijah. And you have the audacity to ask me to fix your meal first? I want to tell you something that I've been telling you for the last few weeks. God refuses to be second place in our life. In the New Testament, he says, seek me first, not last. When he taught us about tithes, he said, let it be the first. God always wants to be number one. He wants you to love your wife. He wants you to love your children. He wants you to do many things, but he says, love me first. Serve me first. Don't put anything before me. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I told the church, and I've said this before, money offers the same promises that God does. Money says, if you'll just get me, if you'll just get a hold of me, I'll take care of your needs. I'll provide for you. I'll bring you peace of mind. You won't have to worry about anything as long as you get money. And I got news for you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't need money. You need Jesus Christ. And you better keep him on the throne. I am sure, can you imagine, guys? I want you to just think for a moment about what was going through this little widow's mind. What was the turmoil that, you know there's a struggle inside, right? Has God ever asked you to do something? And man, there's a fight from the right when the, he says, go do this, and you think, no, I'm not doing that. I know she wanted to tell that prophet where to get off. How dare you ask me something? I don't even serve your God. Why would I take from my child and give it to you? By the way, isn't the man the one that's supposed to provide? Isn't that the way your God has taught you? Sometimes he turns things, doesn't he? Sometimes he takes the simple to confound the wise. Sometimes the Lord will ask you things that you'll think, that can't be God. You better wait a second. I am sure there is a struggle within this woman. And Elijah speaks to her heart. And he says, don't fear. Don't try to figure out what's going to happen over the next weeks and months. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. You know why that's one of my favorite verses? Because it's so difficult for me. You see, I sometimes see life like a chess game. If only I knew how to play chess. I think, well, if life moves me here, then I need to know what's the next move. What do I need to do to provide for my family here? What do I need to do? You know, I have plans for 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years down the road. I'm always planning. I plan for this church. I plan for my life. I plan for our marriage. I make plans. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as I say, unto you, O God, do I make these plans. God, you have the right to change any plan that I lay out. He says, don't fear. Don't fear to a lady who's getting ready to starve to death. You're telling her not to fear. And I want to tell you today, you must silence the fear in your life before you can hear the word of God. You've got to learn to silence fear. See, those what ifs are going to drive you crazy. I can remember when Treva and I had these little babies. And Treva looked at me one day and she said, oh, they're so sweet. I dread it when they become teenagers. And I said, I don't dread those years. I'm not looking for disaster. I'm looking for the blessing of God, folks. I'm not planning for a disaster. I'm planning for a blessing. You better watch your words. Fear is a great motivation. You have no idea how strong that fear is. Fear is perverted faith. See, faith says you believe for something. Fear says you believe for something. It's perverted because you're believing for something awful. You're saying, well, what if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if my wife leaves me? What if this happens or that happens? And we go down 1,000 different trails in our mind. And the prophet of the Lord would tell you today, quit fearing. Quit walking in fear. I don't care how close you've come to the edge. I am the one in charge. I'm the good shepherd and I lead my sheep. We've got to silence fear because fear is not of God and fear brings torment. The devil is beating you over the head with fear and you've got to silence the fear. How do you do that? Usually by quoting the Word of God. You know, Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. John 6:35, Jesus said this. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is our sustainer. He's the bread of life. I don't know what you're going through today, but I came with the word of the Lord to say, stop worrying about the future. Let's trust him. The prophet of the Lord looked at this woman and he says, you just put me first. Oh man. Can you imagine what that prophet must have went through just to get those words out? There's no man that wants to say something like that. There's not a man alive that wants to do that. Yet the Lord had him speak this to her for her provision. One meal for that prophet wasn't going to make a whole lot of difference, but it was to this woman. He said, if you'll put me first. In other words, if you'll put God first. That flour, Ben, will never run dry. And the oil will never run dry. I just wonder, I've got a very exquisite mind that likes to think of things. And I just wonder, I don't know how you see it. I don't know if the next day, if you see her going into her kitchen and that flour bin is just running over and the oil is just full and she, woohoo, look at this. What do you want today, man of God? I don't know. In my mind, I see it as every day she takes that cup in there and rakes the bottom. And pulls up enough flour to provide what she needed that day. Life is a life of trusting God. We must learn to trust Him. We must learn in good times and in tough times not to fear, to trust the Lord. You know, the Lord gave me this sermon on Monday. We had no idea what our week was going to be like. I find that so many times the Lord is speaking to the preacher rather than the church. So I just want to let you know, I'm preaching to me today. But I hope you get something out of it. The Lord sustained this widow. And then in the verse 17, and said, now it happened. Now it happened. Everything's going along pretty good. Every day she's going into the kitchen, pulling that flour out of that bin. However you see it running over or pulling out from the very bottom of the barrel, it doesn't matter. God was providing every day for this woman. And all of a sudden, now it happened. Now it happened. It's amazing to me that your life can change in a moment's notice. You know, we got Joe Patterson back here, who was a construction worker, worked on tall buildings and all of his life. He knew the trade. And one day, something gave out. He fell 30 feet. Broke most of the bones in his body. My brother David back there, general contractor, been on ladders thousands of times. And one day, the ladder fell, broke his back, his hips. My brother in the front, truck driver. One day he goes to get out of his truck, and they'd put him in a new truck. Didn't have the handle that his old truck had. Reached for the handle, got off balance, just like that. Fell face first into the asphalt. Wasn't a long fall, but he hit so hard the back of his head that it almost popped his eyeballs out. Had a terrible brain injury. Folks, please listen to me. You may think, well, this sermon has nothing to do with me. And by this evening, you may call me up and say, Pastor, now it happened. You walk into work one day and everything's going well. And they say, we don't need you anymore. You go to your doctor for a general checkup. And he looks at you and begins to frown. Several men in here and women that went to the military, Afghanistan, Vietnam. Now it happened. Now it happened. I'm not trying to cast fear on you. I'm just trying to say things can happen in one day's notice that will shake your faith. A couple weeks ago, my son got a little baby boy, precious baby. The Lord had given me just a moment in the Spirit of the Lord where I began to see things and pray. Named him Benjamin, son of the right hand. Benjamin Matthew. Had him for 12 days, and the lawyer called on the 12th day and said, the mama wants him back. Bring him back. Well, let me tell you, my son cut the cord for that little boy. My daughter-in-law did skin-on-skin time. My wife called me Wednesday, middle of the day. We had just had lunch. No, you were eating lunch with Jennifer. She called me, bawling her eyes out. Hysterical, basically, and she doesn't get hysterical. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? She said, Emily just called. They've got to take Benjamin back. Now it happened. My friends over here, Jeff and Candy Dowdy, called me one day, 2 o'clock in the morning. Our house is on fire. Lost everything they had, including their dog. Save the girls. Now it happened. 2 people in this church, sons, were murdered. Several people in this church had children die. Now it happened, folks. I don't believe and some of the things being taught in the pulpit today across America. That if you serve God and you have enough faith, you'll never go through these difficulties. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you believe that, and one of these days now it happens to you, you're going to look at yourself and say, where is my faith? What's happened to me? I thought if I had enough faith, that these bad things wouldn't happen. It's a lie. Don't buy the lie. I want you to know that no matter what you go through, Jesus will be with you in it. It's amazing to me. My wife is the we had to quit watching Little House on the Prairie years ago because it just tore me up. I'd just sit there and bawl, and Tree would just sit there and look at me. What is wrong with you, man? I am the emotional one in our family. Treva's solid as a rock. But Wednesday when she called me, she's crying. And I'm just emotionless. I never once have cried. Those of you know me, you know that's just unusual. Because I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed. I cannot tell you the end of the story. But I choose to trust in Him. 1 Peter, let me say, we are in no way mad at the biological mother. There's not one ounce in Treva and I's heart that are mad at this woman. We understand her. We understand the love of a mama and a child. We understand that. So we're praying for her. As much as we're praying for Benjamin, we want the best for Benjamin. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. This woman didn't understand what was going on. She just brings her dead son to him and says, What are you doing? Is this the reason you come into my house? Are you here to remind me of my sin? You know, it's amazing to me that when bad things happen, the very first thing we think is that we caused it. I must have done something wrong. The Lord knew I had that bad thought. The Lord is holding my past against me. I want to declare to you today that is nonsense. The Bible says that Jesus forgives us of our sin and removes it from our life. As far as the east is from the west, you got to get past that one. You got to say, this didn't happen because of me. I don't know why it happened. But I do know I choose to trust in Him. I think it's just very interesting. She didn't run to the doctor. And she didn't run to the undertaker. She ran to the man of God. Here, Elijah grabs this boy and he takes him to the upper room. In Acts chapter 1, they were all assembled. 500 Christians had been together. Only 120 of them was in the upper room. 380 people of God gave up somewhere in the waiting process. But 120 of them made it into the upper room where the Holy Spirit was given out. The power of God came down, changed their life forever, and all of a sudden God created the church. It's a powerful moment. Oh, for an upper room experience. I think it's just very unique that Elijah takes the boy to the upper room. I want to tell you, when it happens, when you have one of those days where he says, now it happened, get to the upper room as fast as you can. You go along, get into the upper room where God is there. Elijah puts the boy on his bed, spreads his body out over him. Not once, not twice, three times. I'm amazed at the prayers of Elijah. He was a man of few words. He did not pray this eloquent three-page prayer. He prayed just a simple line. God, what are you doing? This woman has provided for me. What are you doing? God, bring this boy's life back. Three times. On the third time, Scripture says, read it. On the third time, Scripture says, God heard Elijah. Woo! I want you to know today, God hears us. But you must persist in prayer. Don't give up on the second time. You lay your hands on the promises of God. And you say, it's going to be. And I'm going to keep on asking. And your prayer will be heard in heaven. I can't tell you you're going to get your way in everything. But I can tell you that God is on your side and that nothing is impossible with Him. And nothing is impossible to those of us who believe. Hang on, folks. Hang on. You know, Smith Wigglesworth one time went to a funeral. He's the guy you either want to invite or don't want to invite. Grabs the corpse out of the coffin. Throws it up against the wall. Receive life in Jesus' name. And the corpse shrinks right down there to the floor. Man, it's at that moment that I would have hightailed it out of town. I want to tell you. You'd been looking for a preacher on Monday because this preacher would not live in Paris any longer. Smith Wigglesworth goes and grabs the old boy again. And he said, I said receive life! And he threw him against the wall again. Again, he crumbles. This is a documented truth. He crumbles to the floor. The third time, Smith Wigglesworth comes over, grabs that son, and said, I said in the name of Jesus to receive life. Threw him up against the wall. Boom! The boy come back to life. documented. I know some of you think God doesn't do that anymore. Yes, He does. Yeah, He does. Yeah, He does. You see, when Jesus went to hell, He got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Nothing is impossible to our God. What's impossible to Him is what you refuse to ask for. What's impossible to Him is when you do not continue to be persistent in prayer, to pray according to the Word of God, to speak the Word over the situation. Stop looking at the problem. Start looking at the Lord you serve. He gets this boy up in his arms again. Brings him down. Where the unnamed widow never even gives her a name. You may think, well, she's insignificant. Not to God, she's not. I think He didn't give her a name because He wanted you to know that could be you. That could be me. And He said, here's your son. He's alive and well. And she said, now I know that you're a man of God and truth is in you. You see, what this world needs is not necessary miracles, but they need to know the truth. They need to know that there's only one solution for our problems. And it's not going to come through the White House. It's going to come through the church house. It's the Word of God. It's the power of God. I don't know where you're at today. But in this tiny portion of Scripture, God shows Himself as Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us, and El Shaddai, He's the more than enough God. Are you leaning on your own understanding today? Are you trying to make it on your own? Elvis sang the song, I Did It My Way. You see how he ended up? I don't want you to go down that road. I don't want you to do it your way. I want you to do it God's way. Can we just do that? Can we just say, God, I want your will more than my will? You see, some people think it's so hard to find the will of God. I don't think it's hard at all. I think you just have to surrender your will. I think when you get to the point where you say, God, I don't want my will anymore. I just want you. I think God says, that's exactly where I want you. And I will make sure that I get you where I need you to be. Let me say one more word. There is no such thing as luck. Luck is from the word Lucifer. We are not lucky. The Lord says He leads and guides and orders our step. You're not at the right spot at the right time because you're having a lucky day. You're in the right spot at the right time because God is leading your day. And even on the days where you say, now it happened, I want you to know God is still there with you. I know there's great struggles in life. And during those great struggles, Satan comes at you. Oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. You're not going to get past this one. Oh! 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 And you got to silence the fear. And you got to let the man of God stand up within you. I trust you. And what time I'm afraid, I trust you. Jehoshaphat knew the army was coming. But he said, God, I look to you. And the Lord spoke these words to him. and said, this battle is not yours. It's mine. You just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I read the back of the book. We win. We win. The Lord never told you to go and conquer. He said, stand. And when you've done everything you can, stand. You stand in faith. On the hardest day of your life, Larry stood at his own son's coffin. This family here stood at their son's coffin. Brother Vine stood at his son's coffin. You stood at your daughter's coffin. I can't imagine a worse day. But when you stand there, you realize I am not alone. And David said, he cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. And I declare to myself, I will see you again. I won't let anything deter me. Stand with me. I believe with all my heart, God had a message for you today. I don't know how it applies to your life. I just don't know. Ian Bounds was a man of prayer. He said, persistent praying never faints or grows weary. It's never discouraged. It never yields to cowardice. But it's lifted up and sustained by a hope that knows no despair and a faith that will not let go. Persistent praying has patience to wait and strength to continue. It never prepares itself to quit praying. It refuses to give up from its knees until an answer is received. Paul believed in prayer and in persistent praying. He told the church at Thessalonica, night and day we pray earnestly that we may see you again. At Colossae, he said, we have not stopped praying for you. And to the church at Ephesus, he said, I keep asking God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Don't let fear overtake you. He has your answer. He knows the way you should go. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I am not preaching pie in the sky. I'm preaching the truth, reality of the God that you serve. See, on Monday, only the Lord knew what you were going to go through. Only the Lord knows what sustains you right now. Only the Lord knows what Satan may be whispering in your ear. I've come to tell you, we win, folks. We win. Don't give up. Don't give up. You hear me? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Jesus is on the throne and he's not broke. Oh God, hear our prayer today. Respond to the cry of our hearts. With every eye closed, every head bowed, with an uplifted hand, I just want you to say, I need God today. that's you, would you just lift your hands? I need God. I need the strength of the Almighty God. There's hands raised all over this building. See, only God could know that. Only God knew that you needed to hear the story of the widow of Zarephath. When you get to heaven, look her up. Look up that little widow and say, can you tell me the rest of the story? I want to hear what happened to you. You're a winner. You hear me? You're a winner. And the louder that Satan tells you you're not, the more you realize, oh, I must be getting close to the finish line. I must be getting close to see the manifestation that I've been holding my faith for. I say in Jesus' name, fear, you are defeated. I refuse to think negative thoughts any longer. I cast my hope in Him. My anchor is in Jesus. I refuse to fear. I will only believe. And I stand. When all else fails, I stand in Jesus. Father, I pray right now for a supernatural touch of the Spirit of God. That you would touch and manifest yourself to each one of us today in the area that we need it. God, I pray that provision would happen, healing would happen, salvation would happen in Jesus' name. God, we look to you. You have no equal. There's no one else. You are holy. You've been set apart from all others. And our eyes look to you, God. You are our source and our strength and our help in the day of trouble. I will not worry. I will not worry. I will only trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.